Now we bring you the extraordinary story of Navalis, a major New York construction company founded by a South Kerry family originally from Ballinskellig's. Last week we reported how a brother and sister, Donal and Helen O'Sullivan, who were so instrumental in founding Navalis, were sentenced in New York in relation to a fraudulent payroll scheme. To tell us more, we are joined by Irish Examiner Deputy Property Editor Catherine Shanahan, who was in New York for the hearings. First of all, Catherine, begin at the beginning. Tell us a bit about Navalis.
Okay, so I suppose, as you said yourself there, Tata, its origins are in South Kerry. Essentially, three brothers, Donal, Kevin and Leonard, went over to the States in the mid to late 80s. Started out, Donal anyway, as a labourer on a construction site, as so many Irishmen do, I suppose, when they go over to New York. But after 3 years, founded a small tile company called Navalis, and then over the next couple of decades, essentially with Kevin, Leonard returned to Carra Savine in 1998, but Kevin and Donald stayed there, and Helen joined them in the meantime. Helen is their sister, and she was doing payroll admin in Navalis. So over the next couple of decades, they essentially turned into a major success story, won huge contracts around New York, would have done the 9/11 memorial, which are probably the most prestigious one, given the, you know, massive legacy that comes with it. They would have been involved in the Arthur Ashe Stadium, Madison Square Gardens, one Vanderbilt. Basically, many of the iconic buildings that you'd see in New York City today, they would have played a role in terms of the services they provided. So, I mean, all was going very well for them until in 2014, the unions representing the various categories of workers that would work on building sites brought a lawsuit against them. It was a civil lawsuit alleging that they hadn't been paying into union benefit funds, which is essentially the types of monies that would be used by unions in terms of holiday pay, retirement funds, health insurance, that kind of thing. And they sued them successfully. They were awarded $76 million. That sent the company went into what's called Chapter 11 bankruptcy then, which basically protects the company, allows it to continue trading while trying to sort out its financial problems. I think everyone recognised that it was too big a company to let it go under. You know, it would have resulted in lots of job losses for the employees in Navalis. They were involved in so many construction projects that it would have been disastrous. But also, it was in nobody's interest for the company to go under. So ultimately, there was mediation. And in 2018, the unions reached a settlement for $25 million, which is, I suppose, a third of what they had originally been awarded. And I spoke to an attorney that represented the unions in that case. He said, you know, once that was reached, the unions had no further beef with them. So you would think that's the end of the case. They've paid their dues. But in the meantime, the government then took a criminal case against them for also non-payment of union benefits funds. It was slightly different in that this case, the criminal case, related to the operation of a payroll scheme within Navalis. They had their own payroll that they paid their employees off, but then they set up a separate scheme which looked like, on the surface, that it was a different company, but in fact it was Navalis employees. It was just using a different payroll to pay them, also using it to circumvent paying those union benefits funds. The government was suing them for in the order of $2 million, which is a much lesser sum, but it was a criminal case, so from that point of view more serious. The court adjudicated ultimately recently that they reckon this figure owed was closer to $1.2 million. In 2020, Donal, as owner, president and founder of Navalis, Helen as a payroll administrator, and a chap with Tipperary connections called Padraig Nocton, their chief financial controller, they were all arrested in 2020 on 11 counts of essentially relating to that payroll fraud. And then in October 2021, they were all convicted. And then just last week, finally, after much toing and froing, the sentencing hearing took place. So that's what I was in New York for.
Now, tell us, first of all, the former chief financial officer, Padraig Nocton, what sentence did he get last week?
So they sentenced him separately. His hearing was 2 days at the request of his attorney ahead of two O'Sullivan siblings. So what he was given was 1 year and 1 day for each of 11 counts of felony, which would look like 11 years and 11 days, but actually the sentences were one concurrently, which would have meant he'd serve 1 year and 1 day. He also got 2 years supervised release for each of the 11 counts, again to run concurrently, so 2 years de facto, and he got a small fine. when the O'Sullivans went into court then, 2 days later, there was, I'd say, in the order of 100 Irish supporters in the courtroom with them. They ended up getting... Helen got probation for 2 years, so no prison term. Donal got 6 months for each of the counts to run concurrently, so boils down to 6 months, 6 month jail term. He also got 2 years supervised release for each count to run concurrently, and he didn't get a fine because he's going to be involved in a restitution vis-a-vis the unions. Helen did get a $5,000 fine. So I think there was a lot of relief there on foot of Padraig Nocton having got a longer sentence, but actually it was quite a dramatic day in court, and at the end of it the judge said, you know, in light of what's happened here today, I'm going to revisit the Padraig Nocton case and relook at his sentence. Padraig Nocton was in the court to support the O'Sullivans on the day, so I think there was a lot of relief from him and his supporters. There was people in tears because she was talking about making his sentence now more commensurate with what the O'Sullivans got. But it was quite a remarkable day, really, because the judge specifically referenced the number of letters of support that she had received from the O'Sullivans. 344 letters came in support of Donal, 114 to 120 came in support of Helen, and they were sealed, but the Irish Examiner requested for them to be unsealed so we could see excerpts from some of them. So one of the speakers you just had on in your last piece there, Tratha, Michael Healy-Ray, his name cropped up as one of the supporters. Leslie Buckley, whom people will know as the former chair of Irish News and Media, and also the founder of the Haven charity, set up on the foot of the Haiti earthquake disaster with Dennis O'Brien. Donal had been involved in supporting them as well, and in supporting the Haiti disaster. Maurice Fitzgerald, whom everybody, I guess, who supports Kerry or football in Kerry will know. Lots of names and extraordinary acts of goodness recounted in those letters in support of the two defendants, to the extent that the judge said she was essentially blown away. Out as quite an extraordinary individual. There was one letter, actually there was a couple of letters referencing her befriending a homeless man called Sean Coffey in New York, fixing up a home for him, getting him a job as a night watchman with Navalis, and when he passed away ultimately he had no one. She arranged for his ashes to be brought back to Ireland and paid for a headstone for him. So the judge was just said, like, when you're sentencing somebody you have to take into account the good they did in their life versus the bad. She said, from what I've seen here, the good here is just phenomenal. And so, just like, essentially the letter writers of Kerry in America, the people who travelled over maybe from America that Donal had hired in Nablus, all of those people, the letter writing, the ability of the Irish to put across in words seemed to mitigate those sentences.
Extraordinary. And do you think, given what's unfolded now, and there had been talks initially of Donal O'Sullivan facing up to 20 years in prison, but we can see that hasn't come to pass. Do you think no. will they appeal the sentences, or what's your feeling of this?
Yes, they can. So they were not sent to jail immediately, neither Padraig Nocton nor Donal. There was a date about kind of mid-November for them to present themselves at a prison yet to be decided. But the government, obviously, with the prosecutors in this case, they were in court on the day. And the judge herself, I'd always been trying to figure out, why is the union so successfully sued the company? Did the government subsequently go after them? Now, the government case turned out to be slightly overlapping in terms of the time frame, but it was such a smaller sum that they went after. And the judge said, look, I think, you know, this is kind of I wouldn't call it a show trial because it probably wasn't big enough to be a show trial, but just an example of, to other companies out there, don't go down this route. We will come after you. We will throw the book at you. I actually don't think on the day that the government was that intent on having either Donal or Helen imprisoned. I think they wanted to send a message out there to say, don't do this, guys. We will come after you. That seems to me, because they didn't object, you know, that they wouldn't be jailed immediately. They didn't object that they would have leave to appeal. They accepted everything. And I do think, and I think the judge pretty much put out that message as well, that this is the deterrent. We don't think there's going to be recidivism here. We don't think they're going to reoffend. And we're just hoping what you've been through is enough to teach you the lesson that you needed. And we do recognise that you have a lot of good things that you've done for people also.
An extraordinary story there from Catherine Shanahan, Deputy Property Editor with the Irish Examiner, and Catherine's excellent reportage on the Navalis case and the sentencing of the O'Sullivans and their former Chief Financial Officer, Padraig Nocton. You can find them online, go back and read them. I'd urge you, marvellous report, in-depth reporting at its absolute best.